This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 244.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be doing something a little bit different. Now, if you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know that it's really focused on how-to practical advice that you can use to promote your business more effectively. But recently, I've had to make a big decision in my business. And it struck me when I was going through the steps to make this decision that decision-making is something that a lot of my clients and customers really, really struggle with. And the main way that I work with people is through my membership community, the Soulful PR Studio. And as part of that, I offer a 20-minute induction call. And so often when I'm on that call, I speak to business owners who are just paralyzed by indecision. They can't make a decision about something in their business and they just can't move forward because of it. So I thought it would be really interesting to share a big decision that I've had to make in my business recently and talk about some of the steps that I had to go through to make that decision. And it's a decision that might not be popular with everybody, but it's one that I really felt strongly that I had to make. So in terms of the learning for you, I think there'll be some key takeaways for you about making big decisions in your business and how to do that more effectively. As it's a little bit different, I'd love to hear your thoughts. So do get in touch with me. I do love hearing from you. So drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can find me over on Twitter @jan_murray, or you can find me on Instagram @janmurrayuk. And now on with the main part of the show. So for the past 2 years, I've been running a really successful live event every summer called Soulful PR Live. Now, the premise of the event is this. I get 8 national journalists, so from high-profile newspapers, magazines, radio and TV, I get them in a room with 80 small business owners for the day. And the idea is that the journalists talk about what they're looking for in a story, what they're not, how to pitch, how to get in touch, all of that good stuff. And they don't just talk about it, but the delegates who come along get to meet each and every journalist. So not only are they available during breaks and over lunch, but we also run a really popular speed networking session where every delegate gets to meet every speaker. It's a really good opportunity. So the event has really grown over the last few years. So it's now a 2-day event. And we also have a VIP session. So for those delegates who really want to kind of go big on the press coverage thing, they can stay for an extra mastermind session at the end of the day. They get 10 to 15 minutes in the hot seat with all of our speakers. They can talk about their business, the challenges that they're having, getting media coverage and get one-to-one feedback. And those people who have taken part in those sessions have said it's invaluable. Now, the event has been sold out for the last 2 years. And actually, the event is a version of an event, or the format is very similar to an event that I ran in other sectors like education and charity for years, actually. So I know that that format works. I know there's a real appetite for people who want to be featured in the media to get themselves in a room with high profile media people. I know that that format, I know that that concept really, really works, but I'm changing it this year. So in this episode, I really want to explain why I'm changing the name, but also why I'm changing the content up a little bit. Now, what's in it for you? Well, I know that when I work with my own customers and clients, particularly in my membership community, I know that they often struggle when it comes to making decisions, and particularly when it comes to making difficult decisions in their business. So this is a decision that I've had to make, which is actually to change something that's already working really well. But I really feel it's important that I do make this change. So in terms of the takeaway from you, at the end of the episode, I'm going to share some key takeaways about making big decisions in your business. So that's how I hope it will be really helpful for you to hear my experience, but also some key takeaways about making big decisions like this. So why am I making this change? Well, I've got a number of reasons which I'm going to run through for you now. Just to say, the event was called Soulful PR Live. Now it's going to be called Media Influence Live, and it's going to be held in London on July the 5th and 6th, 2018, if you're listening in the future. So how I've changed it is that it's still a similar kind of format. So we're still going to have our 8 national journalists, but what I've also included and added onto the speaker lineup is some high profile Instagrammers, bloggers, YouTubers. So podcasters as well, actually. So people who are in the media in the much broader sense. And I think it's really, really important. I'm going to explain in this episode why that's so important. In terms of the format, it's still going to be pretty similar, actually. So I usually pair up the speakers and get them to present in twos. So they'll still be talking about what they're looking for, what they're not looking for, how to get in touch, how to build your media influence. And we're going to extend the networking session. So we have the talks in the morning, in the afternoon. You'll be able to come along and take part in the networking session, get longer with each of the speakers. And we're still going to have the VIP mastermind at the end of the day. What we've also changed, actually, is that day two is going to be really focused on pitching. So what I felt in the past is that people have come along and had an amazing day meeting all of these journalists, making really brilliant connections. But then they've gone off full of ideas, really excited, and then thought, oh, what do I do next? So day two this year is going to be really, really focused on those next steps. So, okay, if I want to build my media influence, what do I need to do? What's my strategy going to be? We're going to look really closely at how to put together really great pitches, and not just for the traditional media, but also for podcasts, for speaking at events, for other types of content as well. And also we're going to look a little bit about getting over your fear of being seen. Because I know that lots of the customers I work with, or clients, I should say, in my membership community, that's something they really struggle with. They really do want to get this high profile media coverage, but they initially struggle a little bit with being seen and being out there. So we're going to look at that as well. So I'm going to run through my reasons for why I've changed the name of the event to Media Influence Live, why I've changed the event. I mean, you know, in terms of the format, it is actually going to be quite similar. There's still the idea of getting business owners in a room with media influencers. But my definition of what a media influencer is, that's the bit that's changed. And I'm going to run you through that bit now. So first off then, the reason that I'm not just having journalists from the traditional media this time round. So in the past, just to give you some context, actually, so I've had journalists from The Guardian, from Marie Claire magazine, from Stylist, from BBC, ITV, The Pool. So it's generally been journalists from the traditional media, or content creators, if you like, from the traditional media. But the reason that I'm going wider, and I'm also going to have YouTubers, podcasters, Instagrammers this time round, is because I really feel that traditional PR, it isn't that it's not relevant anymore, but it's not as relevant. Or maybe a better way of putting it is that the relevance is different. Things have changed. So I still think it's really, really important. It's really good for your business to get featured in high profile newspapers, magazines, radio and TV. It's great. It's brilliant for building your credibility, authority. It's brilliant to be able to kind of put, I always call it your bling. So to be able to put those titles on your website and show people that you've been featured there. But actually, when it comes to making sales in your business, there's other things which are just as important. So, for example, publishing content on your own website in the form of a blog or a vlog so you can attract traffic. Email marketing, the money really is in the list. And also being active on social media. If you're not doing those, you're just focusing on press, then you're going to be really disappointed with the results. If you're doing all of those three things and you're also doing press, then brilliant. Now, if you've studied marketing, even to, you know, very basic level, you know that most people, the research shows that most people need 7 or 8 touch points before they buy. So for me, traditional press coverage, so getting featured in newspapers, magazines, radio and TV, that is one of those touch points. So before people buy from you, they may read a blog that you've written. They may get an email from you because they're on your email list. They may see some of your social media updates. They might listen to your podcast if you have one, or watch your YouTube channel. And then they might see you featured in The Guardian or The New York Times, or see you quoted in an article in The Huffington Post or something like that. So for me, press is one of those 7 or 8 touch points. And I think a big mistake that lots of business owners make is, and I get this all the time, people get in touch with me, they email me and they say, right, okay, I really want to focus on press. I want you to help me get press coverage. Now, first off, I don't generally work with people in that way anyway. I don't do people's PR for them. I teach them how to do their own. So they'll come and they say, right, I want to be featured in Marie Claire. Or I want to be in The Guardian. Or I want to be in the BBC. Or I want to be in the New York Times, whatever it is. And I'll say to them, well, what is it you want to do? Why do you want to do it? And they say, well, I want to make more sales. I want to get more customers. You know, essentially, that's what most of us want to do. Or they might say, I want to get a book deal. I want to get a book agent. Or I want to get more high profile speaking gigs. Now, while press can help with that, if that's the only thing that you're doing, you're going to be really disappointed with the results. And the other thing to bear in mind as well is this. So when I have a piece of traditional media coverage, so say, for example, when I get featured in The Guardian or The Independent or Metro or something like that, I can really amplify that coverage and I can get that coverage in front of more people because I have an email list. So that means I've got 15,000 people I can potentially email about that content and tell them that I've been featured in the press, which tends to kind of, you know, have quite a lot of credibility that comes with it. I can share that on social media, and I have a good following on about four different social media platforms. I've got a strong following there, so people will see that stuff. I also have my own website, and I don't generally use that to post about getting press coverage, but I could do. And because I get good traffic to my website, because I have a blog, I could also talk about it on the podcast like I'm doing right now. But because I already have an audience, because I've been creating my own media, I can actually get more bang for my buck. So when I do get a piece of traditional media coverage, I can get that coverage in front of so many more people. And I can't tell you how many times I've had that conversation with business owners who come to me and they're like, right, I need to get PR. I need to get press coverage. I need you to help me. And I say to them, okay, what is it you want to do? I want to make more sales. That's usually what they want, but it might be something like speaking. It might be something like getting a book deal or something like that. And then when I ask them questions like, are you blogging regularly? Do you have an email list? And are you active on social media? They're like, not really. And what they're imagining is that they'll get this article in Marie Claire, or they'll be featured on the BBC or Sky or CNN or whatever it might be. And that is going to explode their business. And I'm afraid that just isn't the case. It's just, you know, occasionally you get stories that go viral. But most of the time, like anything in your business, it's about kind of keep showing up, keep doing those things, so keep getting featured in the media over a number of months or probably even years, rather than that just that one-off article. So that's one of the reasons why I'm really keen to go a little bit broader, because I just don't believe that traditional PR and press, and by that I mean coverage in newspapers, magazines, radio and TV, I don't think that's enough on its own. I think it's really valuable, but if that's all you're doing, or if that's all you think you need to do, then you're not going to get very far. And honestly, I think things are changing so fast that I would feel disingenuous running an event just about press if I wasn't also talking about the other ways that you can be building influence in the media. So this is really important. I mean, I probably sound like I'm on my high horse here. It's because I am. This is really, really important to me. So the second reason why I've changed the name of the event to Media Influence Live is because I feel like none of us have to wait to be picked anymore. So we don't have to wait to be picked to go on the radio or the TV. You're actually listening to my radio show right now. This podcast is my radio show. It goes out twice a week. I get 35,000 downloads a month. So it gets in front of a really good number of people. But I haven't had to wait for a journalist or a producer to come and find me and pick me and put me on the radio. I haven't had to pitch myself. I've just gone out there and I've made my own radio show. And I think that we're all living in a time now where it's brilliant to get press coverage, and it's brilliant to pitch yourself and get featured in newspapers, magazines, radio and TV. It all helps. It's absolutely brilliant. But actually, why are we waiting to be picked when we can be out there creating our own content on blogs, on YouTube channels, on podcasts like this, over on social media? I mean, there's some amazing social media content out there. I've just discovered, and I'll link to this in the show notes, the Charmin, and that's loo roll, toilet roll, if you're not from the UK. I've just discovered their social media account on Twitter. And it's brilliant. It's really entertaining. And it actually is kind of really good quality content. So when businesses and brands can be out there creating their own content, creating their own media, that need to be picked, to be featured by the big news outlets, it's all brilliant. It's all helpful. But actually, I don't think that should be our sole focus. Now, Gary Vee says this all the time. So Gary Vaynerchuk, the kind of online entrepreneur, very well known, he talks about all business owners, we're all a media company now. And I think that's a really, really good way to look at it. We don't have to wait to be picked by the traditional media. We can go out there and we can go out and make our own media. And actually, in the current climate, having really great content of your own is actually the thing that can get you picked to get featured in the traditional media. So this morning, as I'm recording this podcast, it's a Sunday, left it a little bit late because this is due to go out on the Tuesday. But, you know, it's been a busy time recently. I've been training for the London Marathon. But as I'm recording this, I was looking on Twitter this morning and I read a really interesting article in The Independent. And it was about a family of six who they're from Wigan in the UK. And they sold the house and left everything behind, and they've gone off traveling in a converted, I think it's a school bus or something like that. It's very funky, very stylish looking. And I had a look at this article, I read it, and I thought, I was looking at some of the pictures on it, I thought, I bet you they've got a really great Instagram account. lo and behold, I went over to Instagram, saw they had a really good Instagram account. I can link to this for you in the show notes. And I would put money on the fact that that story has been picked up because of their Instagram account. So they've been featured in The Independent because they have a great Instagram account where they have been chronicling their travels. You know, you may well have just kind of found that journalist on Instagram and shown her the Instagram account. And I'm seeing more and more of this in the traditional media. I'm seeing more and more stories in the traditional media which are about people who are doing interesting things on social media. So again, it's this thing of not having to wait to be picked. You can be out there creating really high profile, really good quality media yourself, and that can get you picked to be featured by the, you know, the big cheese media outlets. Another example for you, which I think I've probably talked about on the podcast before, but there's an Instagram account, these two guys called the Glitter Beards. And basically they post a picture every day of their beards, these two guys with different decorations on them. They got picked up a little while ago, I think it was a year or two ago, and they got tons of press coverage. It was around Christmas time because they were obviously doing Christmas themed beards. And they didn't go out and seek any of that traditional media coverage. They were featured in lots of UK publications, but also internationally in the international press, everywhere they were. They didn't go out and seek that. They basically went out and created some interesting media. They created their own media, and the traditional media, so the newspapers, magazines, radio and TV, they saw that and thought, yeah, we want to cover that. So actually creating really good quality content yourself can help you to get picked up by the traditional media. So it's another reason why I don't just want to have traditional journalists at my July event. I also want to have Instagrammers, bloggers, and other social media influencers so that you can see how all of this stuff interlinks and works together. So the last reason that I've changed the name of my event from Soulful PR Live to Media Influence Live is because for me, press is just another form of content. So if you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know that I'm a big fan of content marketing. And by that, I mean creating content where you add value for your audience completely for free so that they get to know, like, and trust you. And then when people know, like, and trust you, when they've read your blogs, when they've seen your YouTube videos, when they've followed you over on social media for a while or been in your Facebook group or whatever content it is that you're putting out there, then they build up enough trust and knowledge of you to become your customer. And for me, press is just another form of content. So when you're quoted in an article giving your expert view, I'm just thinking of one of my clients, Sarah, who has a lingerie shop up in Edinburgh, and she was quoted in a piece in the Daily Mail about whether underwire bras are going out of fashion and what's replacing them. But when you're quoted in those kind of articles, or when you write an opinion article for The Guardian, or when you are on the BBC giving your views about whatever it might be, that is a form of content. It isn't anything sort of special or different to really what you're doing on your own blog. Okay, it's owned by somebody else and, you know, it's kind of their content, but it's just another form of content where you're sharing your message and you're getting yourself out there. And I think there is this tendency to see press as something quite distinct and separate, but for me, it's just another form of content. So that example that I mentioned earlier about the family who've given up their jobs to travel the world in this kind of converted school bus, that article in The Independent is just another form of content, another way for them to market what they're doing. Because I assume that just looking at their Instagram account, that they're making some money from this, or certainly plan to, which is great. But actually, arguably, their Instagram account may well be more successful for them in terms of getting brands to work with them or making sales if they decide to kind of turn their experience to some kind of online course or program or something like that. Their Instagram account may well be the more powerful piece of content, but the piece in The Independent might give them more prestige, more authority. So I really want people to start to see press just as another form of content, another of those 7 or 8 touch points that people need with you before they buy, and to stop seeing it as something completely distinct and separate. And as I say, I just got to the point where I feel so strongly about the way that the media is changing. I feel so strongly that all of us should be aware that we don't have to wait to be picked. In fact, we should be out there creating our own media and being our own media companies. That's why I really want the event this year to reflect that. So what I'm going to do now is just give you a quick overview of what the event's going to be like and then how it's going to work over the 2 days. And then I'm just going to give you some key takeaways about making this decision, because it has been quite a big decision to change the name of something and to actually change the concept of something that actually is working really well. I feel sure that if I just just put a Soulful PR Live out there again this year, the same format, we would have sold out, because people want to be in the media, they want to meet journalists, they want to be in the press. But for me, that would feel a bit disingenuous, because I feel like the media has changed and I should be running events that really reflect the landscape there as it is now, and not just selling tickets to people because I think that they'll buy them. So there is a kind of integrity issue here. So how it's going to work is this: we're going to be announcing the speakers next week. So I'm recording this in the last week of March 2018. I'll put a link in the show notes to Media Influence Live. But just to give you an idea, the speakers that we had last year, so we had speakers from the likes of The Guardian, Marie Claire, we had Good Morning Britain, which is a big UK breakfast show. We had somebody from BBC Women's Hour. We had, in the past, we've had people from Stylist magazine. We've had people from national newspapers like the Daily Mirror. So that should give you a bit of an idea. This year, we're going to have the same kind of speakers. So we're going to have speakers from national radio, from national TV, from women's glossy magazines, from successful online publications. But we're also going to have a really high profile podcaster. So somebody who's a really great example of why you should be out there creating the media, somebody who has been really successful at making her own media. So that might give you a clue as to who it might be. Also going to have a successful YouTuber. Also going to have somebody who has created and launched their own online magazine, because again, I think we can spend so much time chasing journalists on the likes of Marie Claire, Grazia, Cosmopolitan, whatever. But actually, we may well be able to reach more people if we started our own magazine, or, you know, we may be able to do the two alongside each other, which this particular person has. So day one, in the morning, we'll have, I usually pair up my speakers. So we have like theme talks. So we might have like video journalism. We might have audio, so podcasts and radio. Then I might have a couple of magazine journalists and magazine influencers together. So I tend to kind of theme it. And we tend to have the sessions, we keep them quite short and snappy. Each of them will talk about what they're looking for in terms of content, what they're not looking for, how to pitch, all of that kind of really good stuff. And then in the afternoon, and I've changed things up this year because we used to do this over lunchtime, but in the afternoon, we're just going to kind of totally go all in on the speed networking, because that is the most popular part of the day. And what we basically do is we put each speaker on a table with, it's usually about eight to 10 delegates. And basically the delegates can ask questions. Now, doing it this way around means obviously that by this stage, the delegates will all have heard all of the speakers talk. So they'll have quite specific questions they want to ask. And people love this because they do get to meet every single speaker, because then we rotate the speakers around the table. It's a bit of a mad session, but it's always people's favourite part of the day. I'm also going to be doing a session during the day about how to get press coverage without hiring a PR company or writing press releases, like really easy ways that you can get found by the media and not have to do that, you know, waiting to be pitched thing. So I'm going to be doing a session as well. And day two, we're going to be really, really drilling down into the pitching side of it. So what I noticed in previous years is that people would come along and have a brilliant day, they'd meet all these journalists and they would leave absolutely buzzing from the event. But those people who came back for the second day, so we used to have the second day as a kind of optional, they would just get a much better experience, because that having sort of reflected on what they'd learned and who they've met, they're like, right, okay, I want to make a strategy now. I want to make sure that I've got the time. I see how important this is now. I want to make sure I've got the time in my day, in my week, to actually kind of attend to this. And I also want to understand, you know, I heard them say all that stuff about pitching yesterday, but now I want to understand, what do I write in my email? What should the email subject header be like? Like, what do I do if they don't get back to me? And how do I find journalists on Twitter? So all of those questions that are still left over from day one, but we're going to be doing a kind of really intense day on, I say intense, actually, it's usually much more relaxed the second day, but on kind of pitching and selling yourself. And again, the key difference this year is we're not just going to be talking about pitching yourself to the traditional media. So you're going to be learning how to pitch yourself to podcast hosts, because I mean, for me, getting on podcasts is like the best way to get exposure for your business. So I've done probably 100 guest podcast interviews. And if you look at it like this, for 30 minutes of your time, you get in front of an already established audience. So even if that person has only got a tiny podcast with like a few hundred listeners or a few thousand listeners, then that is still people that you don't have in your audience right now who are going to find out about you and your message, and all for kind of 30 minutes of your time. So we're going to be looking at how to pitch yourself as a podcast guest. We're going to be looking at how to pitch yourself as a speaker at events, because obviously that's another form of content which is really important. How to pitch to bloggers and influencers. And actually, a session that we had last year, which was really, really brilliant, and I haven't touched on this yet, but one thing that I think is that press is brilliant, but sometimes if you've got a specific objective in mind, then press coverage may not be the thing that you need to get in front of the people you need to get in front of. So for example, it might be better to pay an Instagrammer to do some sponsored posts. And so we're going to be looking at that kind of thing as well. So it's about building media influence in a way that's kind of right for you and your business. So for some of you, press is still going to be really relevant. I think for all of us, it's still really relevant. But also looking at some of those other ways that you can build media influence by being a podcast guest. So by creating your own media, by maybe working with Instagrammers and bloggers and maybe having paid arrangements that might actually help you to get where you need to get quicker. So it's just about kind of looking at all the options and thinking about it much more broadly. And I think I'm just really excited about it because I feel this is the event that you all actually need. I can give you what you want, which is to come and meet all these kind of like high profile names. But actually, I feel this is the event that my customers and clients, the people I'm working with every day, this is the event that you really need. So I'm going to put a link to the event in the show notes. If you'd like to know more, then just drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. We're just confirming the last few speakers, actually. So we're thinking they will go on sale the day this podcast episode goes out. If you're interested in coming to the VIP session, then those tickets sell out really quickly. We usually only have 10 places, and the day usually runs the first day from 10 to 4 o'clock. And then at 4, most people go home, and then the VIPers stay and they have this really intense mastermind with the speakers. And although it sounds scary, it's always like so, so popular, because obviously getting that opportunity to sit there for 10 or 15 minutes, talk about your business, what your biggest challenges are, get to know the journalists and influencers better. Obviously, it's a really, really unique and a great opportunity. And the tickets tend to go like in the first day or two. So if you are interested in doing that, then do kind of get on it straight away. Obviously, we'll be emailing you if you're on my email list. The other thing to say as well is that the event it's a great social opportunity. So we have a social, the event runs on a Thursday and a Friday. So it's July the 5th and 6th. We have a really, really great social. We'll go out for dinner on the first night. And, you know, that's just a brilliant way to get to know people. Because of course, events like this are not just about, they're not just about the speakers. They're about the other people that you meet. And, you know, again, when I talk to people about why they come along to my live events and why they enjoy them, they tell me that part of it is because they just meet so many amazing business owners, people like them, basically. Like, I didn't realize there were people who thought like me. I didn't realize there were people with the same challenges as me. And just being in a room with really kind of inspired people who are really taking action, want to take action, then, you know, that's just amazing for people. And that's one of the things that people enjoy the most. I think because the event's going to be a bit bigger this year and it's a 2-day event, also the night before the event starts, we'll have some kind of social as well. So if you don't know anybody, don't worry. We will make sure that you do know people. If you've been along to one of my events before, you'll know that one of the things that we create is we have a workbook for the event, and we put everybody's photo in it and their social media handles and explain a little bit about what they do. So it's really easy to network with people. And you'll also know that I create lots of content to help you prepare for the event. So like how to prepare for the event, how to use social media to kind of promote yourself during the event, how to blog about the event before and afterwards. We send loads of really detailed content on how to make the most of the opportunity, because I want everybody to have, I love running live events. I want everybody to have a really, really great experience. So I said at the beginning that I'd share some learning points on with you about making this decision, because actually I feel that when you've built up an audience or community like I have, often people just want things to stay the same. And I know, because I've already had a couple of messages, I've had lots of support from lots of people saying, brilliant, like last year, you know, I wasn't sure about coming. This year, I definitely want to come because this is music to my ears. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to know about. But in terms of my learning points, you know, for a big decision, I know that there'll be some people who won't like the change and they'll want things to stay as they are. But I think it's really, really important that I made this decision to change the name of the event from Soulful PR Live to Media Influence Live. And despite the fact that some people may not agree with my decision. So what I learned from it is that it's important to ask your audience, but sometimes you just have to lead. So a little while ago, I put out a post in my Facebook group, my free Facebook group. And I was just really honest about where I was in my business. Something I've really been finding challenging recently is that in my background is journalism. And as an online business owner, I've primarily specialized in teaching PR, press, like how to get media coverage. I've got a book on that. But actually in my membership, across all of my social media challenges and all my content, including this podcast, I don't just help people with press. I help people basically with promoting themselves online. And actually it's mainly online marketing. So I actually talked about this in my community and said, you know, this PR thing, it doesn't really feel that relevant to me anymore, because actually what I'm helping you all with is to promote yourself in a broader sense through content, through email marketing. I did a really successful email marketing challenge recently, through social media and also through press, but it's those four things. So actually for me to talk about myself as a PR specialist, a PR expert, it doesn't feel that relevant anymore. I got a lot of feedback from people saying, but no, that's how I found you. And, you know, I did think you were just about press when I first found you, but now I realize that you're not. And that's brilliant. Please don't change. But actually, I learned from this experience that it's good to ask your audience to hear what they've got to say, but sometimes you have to lead. And on this particular topic, I feel I need to lead on it, because like I say, in the current media landscape, I think for me to put on an event that was just purely traditional journalists talking about how to get coverage in the traditional press, newspapers, magazines, radio and TV, I feel now that's just kind of less relevant than it was, and I should be, you know, it feels like I'm showing integrity by actually saying, no, I'm going to put on an event which is actually about what it really means to build media influence in the 21st century. So a key bit of learning for me was listen to your audience, but actually ultimately you have to lead. And sometimes leading means that you don't take the popular decision. The second thing I learned is about the importance of taking action. I heard a lovely quote about this on a podcast the other day, and I can't remember who it was, but it really kind of encapsulates how I feel about this. So the quote goes something like, successful people figure things out while they're taking action. Unsuccessful people figure things out before they take action. So I'll just repeat that to you again. So successful people figure things out while they take action, and unsuccessful people figure things out before they take action. So what I mean by sharing that is that I know that I need to make some changes in my business and how I'm talking about myself, because I know the media is changing and I don't think it's relevant to be talking about traditional PR, about press coverage anymore. But I don't know all the answers yet. So the first answer I've got is I know that I need to change the name of my event, Soulful PR Live, and it needs to be called Media Influence Live. So that's the first step. And if you're a regular follower of my content or the podcast, you are going to see some changes over the next few months. But I haven't figured it all out yet, because there's a lot to figure out and I don't want to rush it. But at the same time, I don't want to sit and wait until I get all the answers, because I probably won't get all the answers. So the first thing that came to me was, right, okay, I need to change this event because this event is coming up and I need to put those changes in there. But I don't need to worry about everything right now. So just take action, and you can refine things and you can get clearer about things as you go along. But I've always found that that's one of the reasons I've been able to make progress in my business, is because I take action even when I'm not 100% sure where things are going. And I notice it with my customers and clients. The ones that are making slower progress are the ones who feel they have to kind of make a decision about everything before they take action. You know, often, you know, I heard a lovely quote recently as well by a guy called James Clear, who specializes in productivity and getting things done. And he has this thing where he just says like 1% improvement every day. And I think that's so important when you're feeling stuck and you've got a big decision to make in your business. It can be really easy to get stagnant and do nothing. But actually doing something, making a change with something that you feel you can do that's manageable. So in my case, changing the name and the content of this event slightly, that feels doable, manageable. I haven't figured the rest of it out yet, but that's fine. I'm just going to start with that. So taking action is another key point. And I think the last thing I want to leave you with when you've got difficult decisions to make is to stay in your integrity. I've used this phrase probably about 6 or 7 times in this episode already, but I got to the stage where I felt it would be disingenuous of me to keep running this event where I got all these journalists to come up and talk about what they're looking for from the traditional media. I realized that actually, if I wanted to put on an event that's really useful for you, you also need to hear from media influencers who go beyond the traditional press. So you do need to hear from YouTubers, you do need to hear from podcasters, you do need to hear from Instagrammers, you do need to know about things like, you know, working with influencers, so working with bloggers, Instagrammers. You know, you do need to know that, or you do need to be able to kind of make decisions about sometimes whether press coverage might be a great thing for you to do, but actually on another occasion, it might be better for you to pay somebody to promote some posts or something like that. That's the kind of media landscape we're in. And I feel that for me to stay in integrity, I need to be putting that kind of content in front of you and putting those kind of events in front of you. So this is a different episode than you're used to. So I would love to get your feedback and get in conversation with you about it. It's probably one of the most honest episodes that I've ever recorded, because, you know, I'm talking about I'm not just changing this event. I'm going to be changing some things up in my business over the coming months. And as I say, I don't have all of the answers figured out yet, but I do know there needs to be a change and I do want you to be part of that. So do drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can tweet me at jan_murray, or you can find me over on Instagram at janmurrayuk. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed this show, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you're listening right now. And also don't forget about my podcast guide. So this lists all of my podcast episodes to date. They're categorized by theme. So whatever challenge you're facing in your business, then you should be able to find a podcast episode, or in fact, several, to help you solve your problem. And you can get that at janetmurray.co.uk/podcast guide. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/podcast guide.